Thank you so much for choosing to spend this time with us today on Dr. Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Anne Crane here with our host, best-selling author and psychologist, Dr. James Dobson. And Dr. Dobson, yesterday we were joined by our very good friend, the vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, Mr. John Bornsheen. And he just began telling us his remarkable life story.
John has been in ministry, Lou Anne, as you know, in a variety of capacities for 17 years. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that my wife, Shirley, who is chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, really enjoys working with him so much. He and his wife, Brandy, live here in town with their five children. And the interview that we aired with John yesterday told a portion of his life story that was deeply moving to me personally, and I'm sure to others who are listening. And I do hope that those who didn't hear will ask for a copy of that CD, because there is ministry there in what we heard. Mm-hmm. Now, John, these programs are so short. We're going to turn to you and ask you to summarize the portion of your story that you told yesterday, and then we will get into what Paul Harvey used to call the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is still being played out, but share that with us.
Well, those who did not have a chance to hear, my story goes back to the early 70s, where you have a young woman who is a product of the culture war, where the attack on the family, mom and dad divorce. She is then sexually abused by the stepfather in the home for several years, runs away to California, gets involved into an even a worse environment. I don't know how you get much worse than that, but I mean going into a culture of drugs and alcoholism and sexual abuse from a group of people who did not value her at all as a as an individual, and giving herself away physically for the next drug, for the next glass of alcohol, and so she gets pregnant in that culture, and she has an abortion. She takes what everybody told her to do, abort the baby. It's an inconvenience. It's a trouble on your life, and it leaves her scarred even to this day. And later on, she gets pregnant again, and it's at that moment where I believe God directly intervened, and she heard your voice on the radio pleading for the unborn child. And in that short moment, even though she can't recall every word, she recalls that it was that moment of, I can't abort this baby. I must keep this child, and I don't know how I'm going to do it. I mean, she had no clue what she was going to do. I mean, she has no money, no influence from family. She's a runaway, basically living on the streets, and she takes a stand for life. And that's where the story goes on.
And she had no resources. She had no husband. And she was lost, just absolutely lost. And yet the Lord reached out to her through a radio program. She was not a Christian and would not normally be listening to a Christian radio program.
That's right.
And yet she did on this occasion, and doesn't even remember how it was that she was tuned in.
Yeah, just driving along. And I think at that moment, as she described it, it was sort of that fleeing moment, trying to run away from it all. I'm now pregnant. I'm in despair. And what do I do next? And you'd almost picture the movie scene with the radio on in the background. And she hears that voice, your voice, that has impacted generations in a powerful way. And it's amazing how she responded, but not knowing what to do next.
And you were the baby that she was carrying.
Yes. Mm.
And she decided to give you life.
Yeah.
And she carried you to term and delivered this little baby into her arms.
You know, I think at that moment she always calls me her miracle baby. That it was in the moment where she has very little to live for, as she often describes it. Seeing a baby in her arms, of course, brings fear when she has nothing to support the child with. She had really no home. She's still living in that environment with these men who are abusing her in that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. And she did not attend church at that time.
Mm-hmm. No.
But felt a call to visit.
Well, Let me jump into that, because that's the God story in all of us. It's amazing how God reached into the darkest of places and brought out life. And that's what he does. You can never be in such a hole that God cannot find you.
That's right.
He's looking for everyone. The Luke 15, where that one lost sheep, and the celebration in heaven that must come from that. And he expresses that. And I know he had that with my mother. And, you know, she leaves that lifestyle. I think that was the next big moment where God was saying, you can't raise this child in this lifestyle of drugs and sexual promiscuity. And you've got to leave that. Trust me. I'm going to take you on a journey, and you have no idea yet how I'm going to reveal an incredible story through you. And she takes the next step. She travels to Texas, and she meets a young man who was a Christian, but he was a nominal Christian. He wasn't really deep in the faith, and she wasn't a believer. They move into a little neighborhood of Texas, no money. They're just trying to survive, and she can't bring herself to go to a church. The despair in her life, the shame, I'm so wretched and sinful, they'll never welcome me there. And she'll tell you that to this day. But she knew that she wanted something better for me. And this young man in her life, I don't know why, he wasn't just pulling her, come with me. And he didn't. He just, he was very silent. But God had a plan. She put me on a little van. There was a little church van that would go around the neighborhood. Mm. She sent me off to a little neighborhood church. And I would come home and all my little paintings and, share the stories. But that's where God did something, because he, through those stories, through my delight, my joy of being there at the church, she finally went.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful thing how no one in God's church, no one in his house, put their finger in her chest and said, how could you send your child to church with alone, all by himself? No one cast judgment. No one accused her of anything. They embraced her with loving arms, brought her into the church. She finally found the family that she was looking for, and they embraced her to such an amazing and beautiful level that she became involved in the church. She served in the youth program and helping everywhere she could, making costumes for the plays, and she found home. Mm-hmm. And God began to transform her life, and she was saved. She gave her life to Jesus Christ. I still remember the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ at that very church, like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think back.
How old were you, John?
I was 12. Mm-hmm. I was 12 years old. I really felt God's intervention all throughout my life. But I can remember that day so clearly, just right in front of the audience, the members there at the church, and all of them staring at this little 12-year-old boy as I go up into the baptistry. It was a little Baptist church. And explaining why I love Jesus and being baptized right there in front of everyone, it clear as day to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember her being baptized. And I remember the joy on her face. And I wish I could say it was just a wonderful journey from that day forward. But there were struggles still. Mm-hmm. I think the past at times would haunt her, that she couldn't fully release it. And in fact, the stepfather who abused her, she eventually had to face him in court and testify against him. And that brought back pain to where she had to confront her past again. And so she would withdraw from the church for a while and then come back and withdraw. And finally, I feel like even just the past few years, that God finally brought healing into her life to be able to release that pain. Because I think it was still holding her back from where God really wanted her to be. Let it go. I've healed. I've restored. You're now a new creation in me. The old is gone. And now she just glows with her prayer life and her love for the Lord. And she's now a contagious prayer warrior. Can I say that? I think it's just her love for the Lord. You want that. You want to grab hold of it. And everybody who's around her, they want to pray like she does. They want to know the Lord like she does, because she grabbed hold of him and she hasn't let go.
You told us last time that as the vice chairman of the National Day of Prayer, working with my wife, Shirley, your mother reacted emotionally when she found out you were going to be working in a prayer ministry.
That's right. She never had shared with me that story about how God had used your voice to touch her at such a critical moment in her life. And then when I – not only did I share with her, Mom, I'm working with the National Day of Prayer, but also that particular year, Chuck Swindoll was the honorary chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And here I remember clearly the days when she wasn't going to church, on the radio, in the car, Dr. James Dobson and Chuck Swindoll, back to back, grew up with you both.
Wow.
And that was an incredible moment for her. I mean, she was speechless. And she saved her money to go to D.C. with us, to go to the National Observance, to be there, to hear you both. And she didn't even have the courage to come up to you because she was just...
I wish she had.
She was still, I think she was just so filled with tear and emotion.
Okay, John, you're going to bring her here.
I know.
I need to give her a hug.
And you will meet a very special woman. And... Yeah, you know, Doctor, if I can I fast forward a little bit now? Because this the story only gets better. I mean, you think, okay, God is now the beauty of pulling out a lost soul and the celebration of heaven and how life was spared. My wife and I went through a very similar experience of having to choose life. I have to tell you that after I joined with the National Day of Prayer and was serving alongside Shirley Dobson, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. And we had already had a child, and suddenly here we're in pregnancy with our second. And they tell my wife, you have a very aggressive form of thyroid cancer. It has spread beyond the thyroid, and we need to treat you immediately.
Hmm.
And we had that moment where it's all of time just stops, where you could have heard a pin drop in a room at that moment, where you're thinking, did I just hear this correctly? This can't be happening. I mean, this is supposed to be God's story where everything is wonderful and happy and there are no problems and we've already been through such a journey already. And yet here we come to another critical moment of having to choose life because the doctor we were seeing at that particular time, he was not a Christian. He was not outspoken for life. In fact, he pulled me aside and said, if you... do not go through this cancer treatment. Your wife will die, and that means you have to eliminate the pregnancy. And you don't want that on you. You're a young couple. You've got a baby already. This is what's in her best interest. And this was kind of the off-the-record conversation where she's not in the room at this point. And I just remember the horrible gut feeling that was going through me of I've got my beautiful wife and I've got a young child. I'm now serving the Lord in ministry. And Father, you've put me at this crossroads of making a decision for life. It's easier to talk to everybody else who's going through that. It's easier to tell them what's in their best interest. But then suddenly I've got to be the one to make this critical decision. And it's either my wife or my child. And
they wanted to give her radiation treatment, didn't they?
They wanted to give her radiation treatment. They wanted to start immediately. She had the thyroid cancer, as you know, it can be very aggressive once it leaves the thyroid. And it had spread down into her lungs, into her cervix. She had a stage 4 cervical cancer. It was literally consuming her body while she's pregnant. And she has all the symptoms of a thyroid out of control, kidney stones and depleted bone marrow and all these things that are happening. And it's like a chaos going on inside her body. And I, as a young father, have to make a decision like that. And I can only picture I can't compare it to what my mother went through. But to have to choose life in that circumstance, I mean, life of my wife or life of my child, we prayed. I can't tell you how I prayed. I mean, on my face in the ground type of prayers.
I don't know if the doctor told you, but radiation has devastating effects on an unborn child. And they're often blind and deaf and mentally disabled. Horrible things, even if the child lives, which he or she might not. So what a terrible choice you had to make.
Well,
you could have actually lost both your wife and your baby.
I sure could have. And I think that it's that mentality that I'm now serving in ministry, so and in a prayer ministry, mind you. So I must have this direct connect with God. And I think we also have this mentality of God's a divine genie and I'm his child. So I'm going to maybe act like a spoiled child that moment and say, well, I should have privilege here. I should have you directly intervene in this circumstance and this should never even be an issue. I'm your servant and I'm serving in ministry. Doesn't that come with some kind of a get out of trouble pass? But no, he put me right in the thick of it. We prayed, and my wife pulled me aside and said, honey, you know we have to choose life, and we're going to give this to the Lord. I mean, she was a rock in this.
Even though the doctor said it will cost her life.
She was willing to give it all up, and she was willing to lay down her life for her unborn child and possibly lose both. And it was the most beautiful thing. I have such respect for her to this day. Just an incredible courage that took to say, we're going to do the right thing no matter what. And here my mother then coming along with her, the prayer warrior now that she is, and the love of the Lord she has, and the confidence that she has in Almighty God. She's like, no, you must choose life, and God will come through. Give him a chance. He's going to come through. Mm-hmm. And here we have my beautiful son. And we've had three children since. Mm. And our beautiful home of five.
That was 14 years ago, John.
That's right. Mm. Even after the ordeal, they said her body is so scarred from the trauma of the cancer and the kidney stones and the cysts on her ovaries that you'll never have another child again. And I think God just loves proving doctors wrong. No offense, doctor, but I think he loves saying, I am bigger than this. I still move mountains in the culture today. Have faith in me. Listen, trust me. And my life is a living testimony of that. To hear the stories of what my mother went through, to then see how he prevailed in our life and continue to write that story, and to think that it all began in a car with the voice on the radio.
Isn't that incredible?
And now I have five children who love the Lord, who bless my soul every day, bless the Lord in what they're doing and taking a bold stand in their schools and in their culture and their circle of friends, and it is because of your obedience. God used you as a messenger. I know, and I'm going to make you red because I have to tell your listeners how much we love Family Talk, how much we love your ministry, how much we depend on it. Our journey is not finished. I have a 7-year-old all the way to a 17-year-old. They need these resources. They need to know that Dad is going to dare to discipline and that Dad is going to show tough love when I need to.
And I'll get the blame for it.
and that's what Family Talk has just blessed us so much in knowing. And I get to share with my children and say, you don't understand who this Dr. Dobson is. Let me share with you how he stood up for life. I'm here today. You're here today. It's just the cycle keeps going. The generational impact by what you do, I don't think could ever have measure. Mm-hmm. And I think that for all the listeners out there, there's people who support this ministry, who maybe go to the website from time to time. They don't understand that a young family like ours, we depend on it. I mean, we're going to your Facebook page. Family Talk has wonderful Facebook activity. We're a Facebook family, so we're on there reading the materials and big fans of Family Talk and reading these materials, and they are still blessing us today. And I know that their children will be blessed as a result. So your impact is, I don't think it can ever be defined.
John, that's very kind. Luann, that gives encouragement not only to you and me and Ryan, but to the entire staff here.
Yes.
That what we're doing is not just a radio program. It has a purpose, a divine purpose. And if we will be faithful to him, he will then use what we're doing for his purposes. John, I want to ask you a really tough question.
Okay.
This is really a hard one. Okay. I wrote a book called When God Doesn't Make Sense.
Yeah.
What would your view of God be like today if you had lost either your wife or your child or both? Would you have been able to say God is good in those circumstances?
Mm. Well, the story's not finished yet.
Yeah.
We have a long journey ahead of us yet, God willing, of whatever he may allow to come across our path. And I think that that's where our prayer changed. Before, when my wife was first diagnosed with all of this, it was take away the pain, take away the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Later, that changed to help me pass a legacy of faith. I need my wife, Lord. Help, if it be your will, let me keep her so that we can pass what we've now learned, the Deuteronomy 6, the Psalm 78 mandate that you have spoken so boldly for so long. Help me do that and pass that to my children. And if that means I get to keep her to do that, I will praise your holy name. If you take her home, she's in a no-lose situation. I either get to love on her or you get to love on her. And I think that through all of that, God helped us grow in maturity,
understanding
of who He is.
God is no less merciful.
That's right.
Even when things go wrong.
Yeah.
But in your case, they went right. And I'm so grateful that they did, John. And you are now trying to tell that story to others. Out there. That's why you're here today and why we invited you here.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go coast to coast as God will allow me to be a voice for the unborn, to continue to beat that drum. Dr. Dobson has been a warrior in our culture for this very topic, and I'm going to continue the cause, and I hope many out there continue to do so as well.
Mm-hmm. And, Doctor, I think it would be very fitting as we close out today to speak to that woman just like you did to John's mother so many years ago. You know, the Lord has assembled our whole Family Talk staff, radio stations, online services around the world, perhaps for one person right now, to hear your voice of compassion and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you close us out?
Oh, Luann, I would be pleased to do that. In fact, let me pray for that young lady you're talking about. Heavenly Father, we bring to you the woman who is carrying a baby that she did not know was coming and had no intention of finding herself pregnant, and now she's lost. Like John's mother, she is absolutely lost. She has probably few resources, very little money. Doesn't know how in the world she could earn a living and yet take care of a child, and yet you're talking to her. Lord, tell her you'll be with her. Tell her that you will help her. Assure her that you know about her circumstances and that you know her by name and that you love her, Lord, and that you forgive her for her sin in getting into this situation. Lord, we just ask for your blessings to be on that young woman today, and that the future will tell her as she looks back that you were there all the time. I thank you for what you've done for John and for Brandy and for John's mother. Oh, God, you have been with this family, and you've revealed your mighty power and your compassion in the way the circumstances unfolded. Lord, you've got your hands on this man, and I thank you that he came and shared his experience with us today. Lord, once again, whoever is out there listening to us that has no answers and no resources and no way out, that you will be there for them and that this would be a turning point in their lives. And toward that end, we dedicate this program today. In thy name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, John, for who you are. And thank you for sharing this story with us. I do hope that you will tell it. Have you written it anywhere?
I have not. This is the first time I've shared
not?
It.
Why not?
I shared the first time was at the National Day of Prayer Leaders Conference.
Yeah.
And since then, many of our leaders have said, you've got to come share that. And so I have several lined up to go.
I was there that night. I tell you what I would like to suggest that you do. Get a CD of this interview and the one yesterday and take it to a publisher and tell them I said that they've got to publish this book, okay?
Okay.
All right. We appreciate you, John. Give Brandy our love. And I would like our listeners to pray for her and continue to pray for her health as the mother of these five children.
Oh, thank you. I certainly will.
And, Doctor, I can't help but think that some of our listeners would also like to get a CD copy of this program to pass along to someone who would benefit from hearing it. You can request this at drjamesdobson.org, along with a copy of Dr. James Dobson's classic book, which was mentioned a few moments ago. It's called When God Doesn't Make Sense. That would be such a helpful resource for someone who has found herself in an unplanned pregnancy. Of course, you can also call us for these resources at 877-732-7000. 6825. And before we close out for today, if we are talking about you right now, if you are pregnant and do not know where to turn, please call us. We would love to put you in contact with folks who can help you. Or maybe you have already made that desperate choice to abort your child. Please know we want to be there for you, too. We can certainly try and connect you with a counselor in your area that can help you in your grief. One last time, the phone number, 877-732-6825, or connect with us at drjamesdobson.org or even at our Facebook page. Thank you so much for spending this part of your day with us, and we hope to see you right back here tomorrow as we close out our Sanctity of Human Life emphasis all this week, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.